Grace and peace to you this morning from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was Sunday night, June 19th, 2016, when in the minds of many fans, the unbelievable happened. That was the night, in case you don't remember, the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA championship. In doing so, they ended a period of 52 years in which the city of Cleveland had not had a major sports championship. To some, they accomplished the nearly impossible. The Golden State Warriors had won a record 73 league games that year. Golden State went on to take a 3-1 game lead in the championship series. No NBA team had ever lost a 3-1 game lead in a championship series. And if the series did go to a seventh game, it would have to be played on Golden Gate State's home court. They had only lost once during the regular season on that court. Well, the Cavaliers came back to tie the series at 3-3. And then they turned in a fantastic team effort to win the final game and the NBA championship on Golden State's court. You may remember, if you're a basketball fan, maybe even if you're not, the Cavaliers had a terrific slogan for the playoffs, which motivated them and was widely embraced by the city of Cleveland and most of their fans. It was posted in signs all over the city. Remember the slogan? It was, "All In." They were totally dedicated to winning the NBA championship. They realized the importance of improving their team during the year, strengthening areas that were weak, like their defense. That had been a priority. Players put aside personal goals and sacrificed points and individual accomplishments that they might excel as a team. It paid off handsomely. I mention this because Christians might do well to adopt the Cavs slogan of "All In" and apply it to living out their Christian faith. For to do what Jesus calls us to do is many times not easy. At times it may seem near impossible. But as Christians we know, don't we, that with God nothing is impossible. But being all in as a Christian calls for not just believing in Jesus, but following Jesus. It calls for having the right priorities in our lives. It calls for us at times to make certain personal sacrifices. Some of Jesus' words in Matthew 10 this morning may have surprised you. It was probably intended as a wake-up call. I'm just going to reread part of them because of their importance. We're focusing on verses 34 to 39 this morning, where Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Thus far the gospel. What is Jesus saying here? Is this the same man, a prophet in the Old Testament, called the Prince of Peace? Is this the same one who says to us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, I do not give to you as the world gives"? Is this the same person? Yes, it is. Let's not get confused by this reading this morning. It was not Jesus' purpose to bring division. An angel was quoted as saying that Jesus' purpose was to save his people from their sins. And hopefully most of us, maybe all of us here today, know that Jesus has brought peace to us by his death on the cross. And Jesus has brought peace for us by reconciling us with God the Father. But his coming into this world as a child did not have the effect of bringing peace to the whole earth. Yet. And I found it interesting to note that Jesus' words were much the same as those of the prophet Micah in the Old Testament. Micah 7:6 states, quote, "For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are members of his own household." Unquote. So in a tragic, similar way, even though divine peace comes to those who are given faith to trust and follow Jesus, conflict often will arise between family members when some refuse to repent and to believe in the Messiah. And this, of course, can occur outside of the family also, but of its great importance within the all-important unit of the family. Jesus himself will sometimes cause divisions between people. And this can be a division so brutal, Jesus even uses the image of a sword in verse 34. Now, I want you to know the news is not all bad here because God is God. Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs from our Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, writes this about our reading for today. "Some will hear Christ's call to faith and discipleship, and by God's gracious action, through the gospel, they will repent and believe. Others will hear the same call, but due to their own ingrained sin and stubbornness, they will reject the Christ who summons them to salvation." That's from the Concordia Commentary on Matthew. I can easily give you examples of these two different reactions within a family. You've heard me speak a couple times previously about Lee Strobel, a well-known journalist who was a non-believer when he got married, as was his wife. And someone invited her to church one day, and she went. And she found something that was missing in her life. So she went back and came to know Jesus Christ by the ministry of God's Word. Now Lee saw his wife's new Christian faith as a threat to their marriage. He was not happy at all. But according to all his own words in one of his books, he saw a change in his wife over time. And that, along with her gentle witness, she didn't push it, but she would sometimes say significant things, and a great deal of patience and prayer helped lead Lee Strobel to come to believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior. On the other hand, I have also read about one young man who was endangering his life by taking drugs. This should be of great interest to us because we practically have an epidemic of drugs, including Geauga County these days. They tried one thing after another to get him off the habit. I've heard of this before. But nothing worked very long. It's one relapse after another. And finally, a group of Christians took him under their care, which included getting him out of his home and away from his friends. And he came to know Jesus as his Savior. And the point came when they felt that he could at least return to his home, not to his old friends, but to his home. And he had some new friends now that were checking up on him. And his life had had a dramatic turnaround, so he went home, where after a couple of weeks, his father said something to the effect that he would rather see him on drugs than on Jesus. You see, the same believers who are called lost sheep in the Bible can at times turn out to be wolves. By their unregenerate nature, unbelievers do not want the salvation that Jesus accomplished, and they may, I said, they may feel very uncomfortable with those who do. And when this takes place in the family, it's a very serious thing. Sometimes this is how the situation plays out. The believer in the family gets challenged by an unbelieving parent or a non-believing spouse who says something, this can be said in a number of different ways, something to the effect of, well, choose me in my ways or Jesus in his ways. And when it comes down to a choice like this, there's a lot at stake for the believer. What's at stake is that believer's relationship with Jesus and faith in him. There can be no middle ground. And if an unbelieving family member demands, and I've seen this, I'm sorry to say, allegiance or conformity in ways in which a Christian should not agree, God's Word calls for the Christian believer to love Jesus more than father or mother or sister or daughter. Christ's own words give us directions here, because Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, him will I acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. That's last week's gospel, if it's unfamiliar to you. And that verse is right before the first verse of the gospel for this Sunday, where Jesus said, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. And outside of the family, of course, Jesus may bring division also. You may lose your job if you take your Christian morals seriously. You may lose cherished friends. You may suffer persecution. That is happening right now in the United States in a number of cases. And some of them have now reached the Supreme Court. There is even more danger for a Christian in a Muslim country or a country where Christianity is not the major religion. And in the past 2 weeks, one of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod websites that is doing ministry in Muslim countries told the stories about 2 weeks ago of a young woman who converted to Christianity in a Muslim country. Her parents threatened to kill her if she did not renounce Christ. So she had to make a choice, and her choice was to run away. They searched for her for years, finally found out where she was living and went at night and kidnapped her. They locked her up and watched over her very carefully. She finally managed to escape. And she is now in hiding, being fed by a Christian organization, but still trusting Jesus. This is just not some game we are playing. This is a battle for human souls for eternity. That's what we are involved in. And each of us should ask ourselves, not each other, am I taking the Christian faith as seriously as I should? Or sometimes am I just sort of going through the motions? Jesus promises that even if you lose relationships, even if you suffer, even if you have to give up, we hope this doesn't happen, but even if you have to give up your bodily life, you will receive eternal life forever. The cavaliers came home to a wonderful celebration, an all-day parade that reportedly included over 1 million people. That was grand. But it's small potatoes when compared with the parade and celebration that is to come when we see the King of Kings. When we celebrate the victory over sin and death, and when we live in a special new place that God is preparing for us. As a pastor, I don't judge anyone. That's the Lord's business. But it would be well for us to close thinking on this question today. Am I totally in, or am I out? Amen.